Beloved congregation, we read in Psalm 12, verse 28, that Christ said, Father, glorify thy name. Christ asked that where he was troubled. Troubled in his soul as never before. Because he realized the way that lay before him. He had suffered much already, because the suffering of Christ starts as soon as he came into this world. Our catechism speaks about that in the Lord's Day 15, and Hellenbroek in our question book, there he said that the suffering of Christ at the end of his life was aggravated. In other words, it became heavier and heavier. And when the time was there that he was ready to empty that cup that the Father had placed upon his hand, then he said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Rutherford, he said about his text that there was a moment, no more, but that there was a moment in the human nature of Christ that he was wavering, a moment. But immediately he said, but for this cause came I into this world. And then he said, Father, glorify thy name. Because he knew that all that suffering that came upon him and that deep way that he had to go through, that it was to the glorification of his Father. And then came there a voice from heaven. A voice, people were thinking that it was a thunder. So loud voice it was. All the people have heard it. And it was a voice that came from heaven. And then the Father said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. In other words, the Father gave there a clear testimony that even from the beginning of the world, that he had glorified his Son. You think about what you read in John 1, that all things are made through Christ, also the creation of the world. And before the flood, in the days of the patriarchs, in the time of Moses, under the law, amongst the judges, and also amongst the kings, The Father had glorified already his Son. But he had glorified his Son also immediately when he came in this world. When he came in this state of deep humiliation. There was never in the world anybody born in under such conditions as he was born. He was not born in a house, but in a manger. But we read in Psalm 22nd, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, a worm, an old man, in the whole state of his humiliation, but I have both glorified it. The Father had glorified his Son as mediator immediately when he came into this world, because there was an angel from heaven that announced his coming in the world. And with that angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts who were singing there in the air. The Father had glorified his Son also when the wise men out of the east came, not wavering, but aware about the coming of Christ in the world, because that wise man that said, where is he that is born the King of the Jews? They did not say, is he born? Shall he be born? No. And they call him the King of the Jews already. And also therein the Father had glorified his Son. Also when he was baptized on the river Jordan, that the Father had spoken there, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father had glorified his Son on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, where that same word was heard. And now for the third time in John 12, then the Father said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And now also in the depths, people, in the depths of Christ's humiliation, where the people mocked him, where he spit in his face, the Father had glorified him. Very clear. Glorified him where that death came against him, and all those soldiers, they fell backwards upon the ground. I have glorified it, and I will glorify him again. Yeah. And even on the cross of Calvary, congregation, even on the cross of Calvary, the Father had glorified his Son. We will consider that with you, with the help of the Lord this evening. My text is in the Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter, verse 24 and 43, 42 and 43. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Dus far. The Prince of Life and the Realm of Death. Blasphemed, required, and glorified. That are the three words which we will consider with you this evening. The Prince of Life and the Realm of Death. Not for the eyes of natural men, no. Because by nature, congregation, you know that there is not one that knows Christ. No. We can have all the religion that there is in the world, but without the revelation from heaven, we don't know Christ. John wrote in his first chapter, and we behold his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. The disciples in John 6, they have declared and we have believed that thou art the Son of God. And when Christ in Matthew 16 asked what they were thinking about him, that Peter, in the name of the other disciples, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know, we have heard sometimes and in sermons, read and preached, that there were times also in the suffering of Christ, that blessed Savior and Mediator, that he had showed his majesty and his greatness. Even that he held his peace for Caiaphas, for Herod, and for Pilate. That he was standing there as the lion out of the tribe of Judah. That he revealed himself as the Prince of Life, as he is mentioned also in Acts 5, verse 32. When Christ declared for Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world, then it was clear also for that Pilate and for other ones too that he was a person covered with majesty and with glory. And in the first word that came out of the mouth of Christ, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they do, then Christ as Mediator and Savior, that he required from his Father the forgiveness of sin for all his dear children. And now, in the second place, we have to consider this evening the conversion of the thief on the cross. I found this morning a piece from Teling, one of our old traders from 1700. And it struck me, really, it struck me is what that tailing said about the thief on the cross. He said, I believe that there was never a man in the world so close to hell and so far from heaven as the thief on the cross. And I believe it. We are all far from heaven. And we are all close to hell by nature. But now this man living that out, because for a sedition and a murder, he was in jail, in prison. And now he was hanging there on the cross of Calvary to die. And after a few hours, to sink in hell. At the other end, congregation, we read in Psalm 66 that blessings or judgments that they never bring men to the right place. Even in our life, congregation, where we are in our life overloaded with the blessing of the Most High God, even that the Lord comes against us in our life with so much punishment and with so much adversity. One thing as well as the other shall never bring us where we have to come. You see that here on the cross of Calvary too, when those two malefactors were crucified, Christ in the midst as the greatest, but where those two also were crucified, nothing else in sight, congregation, than to sink in hell. There are two things, heaven or hell, one of the two. But it said that when they came on the cross, that they both blasphemed the Lord. What a thought. Calvin, one of the 5 points in his doctrine, that was the total depravity of men. And if in our life, let I say this evening, if there comes a little light in our soul about our state and condition, oh, then we are trembling. And then he will say, Lord, was there ever a person in the world as I am? Two things. In the first place, but we were in a state of innocency, covered, adored, with knowledge, righteousness and holiness, prophet, priest and king, honoring God, praising God, dedicating our life unto God by day and by night. and what we became through our fallen Adam. I told you sometime from this pulpit congregation, and I am glad to see you this evening. Really, I am glad to see you. I appreciate it. And I thought when I came in on the pulpit this evening, I thought, what a wonder that after so many years that there is still people also here that will come to listen to it. But if it comes open in our life, people, what we became in the fall of Adam, as Paul said in Romans 3, they all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That by virtue of our fall, that I cannot live to the honor of the Lord. Well, by the grace of the Lord. But from myself, never. And I told you the last time the two things, the righteousness and the wisdom of God in regard to the way of salvation, that in regard of the righteousness that the Lord had to cut us off, entirely to cut us off, people. But that now in the to the wisdom of the Lord, that he had opened in Christ a way to escape the wrath of God and to brought back into communion with God. But now in the prophet Ezekiel is the 22nd chapter, that the Lord, he said that to Israel, to Judah, that he found none. The same as in Psalm 14 and 53. That take it to heart. That means from ourselves. Good Friday and Easter. Luther said it are the two important days of the whole year. The two important days. That Christ died for our offenses. And that he was the next step to our justification. And that now through that Christ that died on Calvary's cross, he was bound there. Of course, his hands and his feet were on the cross, were nailed on the cross. Outwardly congregation, helpless, powerless thing. But still that Christ, that he revealed his divine glory and power in the conversion of that thief on the cross. Oh, what must it be now? When he is sitting at the right hand of his Father. Would it not give us hope this evening? That for the greatest of sins. And I would say a few minutes before, but it slipped my mind. But I would say what is now left of men by virtue of the fall of Adam. Oh, nothing then, wretchedness. That's all that is left of us. If the Lord come in our heart, boys, girls, children, we shall not go in the air, no, but dwell in the depths, in the valley of truth, humiliation. Boast. Nothing else in the sight than to go to hell and forever tormented in hell. Never coming an end to it. No. Still blaspheming. And not only blaspheming, but rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, who had given his soul as a ransom for many. Paul, he said in Romans 5 that Christ died for the ungodly. For the ungodly. And if the Lord comforted us, the people, in the right way, and he proved us in the right way by the Spirit, oh, then we embrace that with both of our hands and with our whole heart. And what would we then say, people? Then we would say, Lord, how is it now possible that you will deal with a person as I am? If you pass me by forever, the only thing that is left for me, that is to say that the Lord is right in all his ways. In all his ways. They both blasphemed, but Jehovah from his throne on high looks down with clear and searching eye on all that dwell below. There was one of those malefactors. His name was written in the book of life and of the Lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ, he knew that man. He came for that man in the world. The same thing. Then for the last time Christ made a trip from Jericho to Jerusalem. And he passed that road and there was a Zacchaeus sitting in a sycamore tree. Zo'n little dwergje. Ook zo'n little one. Yeah. And then he stood. He stood there. He passed not by, but he stood there. And he looked to that tree where that man was sitting. And he says, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down, because I must be in your home. And that man that came down. Absalom congregation, with his hair, he was hanging in the tree, not on the ground. And Joab pierced him with 3 arrows in his heart and he died. But Zacchaeus came on the ground. And congregation, if there is, oh, a spark of spiritual life in your heart, a spark. Even that you have not talked to me personally, and I know what the prayer is of your heart. But in the prayer, Lord, bring me is down. Bring me is in the dust. Oh, Lord, that there was nothing left of me as a poor sinner and a wretched sinner. The Prince of Life and the Realm of Death. And what happens now? One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. One of the malefactors. That one say nothing. He came to himself. The Lord brought him to himself. He was dumb. He was dumb, congregation. But that other one railed on him. The world goes through. They never stand still. They never come down their knees and throws an uprightness. They goes out till they fall in hell. Really. But now the sovereignty of the Lord, people. Christ, that old man, he said that already the Simeon to fall and rising up in Israel. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed to him, say, if thou, if, and that word if, that means you are not the Christ. You have it in your mind that you are Christ. It is all in your imagination. You are not Christ. You deceive yourself. Because if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And then you can see congregation that a man dead in trespasses and sin, that he had no mind and no understanding of the way of salvation. Nothing. As I told you so many times already, and now this evening again, it is all sealed and it is all hidden and concealed for us people. But now that other one that is quiet, yeah, if the Lord come, then we become quiet. Huh? There is people that always talk their whole life. Wrong. There had to come a time in our life that we be silent. There had to become a time that we held our peace. That one he say nothing. No. The Lord touched his heart by the power of his spirit. The Lord he broke his heart. And then you read in verse 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? In the first place, people, I have some points for you this evening. I will mention them first to the children, then they can keep it in their mind, and if you come home this evening, write it not down on a piece of paper. And I hope that it be a blessing for your heart. In the first place, that men that admonished his neighbor. In the second place, that men that condemned himself and that took over his guilt. In the third place, that man, he justified God, and he took over the punishment. First the guilt and then the punishment. And then, fourth, he believed that Christ was without sin, undefiled. And then, in the fifth place, he acknowledged Christ in his Godhead and in his kingship. This, that are the fruits of regeneration, that the Lord came in his heart. He did not place himself above that other man, no. No, that is the work of a Pharisee. A Pharisee said, I am better than all other people in the world. I am the best one. Not this man. He said, dost thou not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. He will say, we are both to go to hell. Oh, there is so many people in our days that say, no, keep that, that talk, keep it. We do not believe in it. But Christ, in the way of his humiliation, his way that was through hell to heaven, and that is the way of all God's children, people. That is the way of all God's children. Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? If the Lord regenerate a sinner, then immediately the Holy Spirit plant his fear in our hearts. And what more? Oh, if the Lord comfort us, people, then we start to hate ourselves. To hate ourselves, to love God. In regeneration, the love of God that is poured out in the heart of the people. There was once a man in one some of our congregation, he said to a minister, when he was asked what kind of man he was, he said, I don't know. I cannot answer that question. No. That minister, he said, does you know it not what kind of man you are? He said, no. I cannot answer that question at all. Can you say that not? He said, yes, one thing. He said, I have a heart full of love for the Lord. That's what he could say. And that is the regeneration. Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. We are condemned, and we have to condemn ourselves. And we indeed justly. We indeed justly. That man, he had nothing to bring in. No, nothing. It was right that the Lord cast him forever in hell. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. Oh boy, listen to me. The Lord can do nothing else with me as and with you too, as to condemn us. That's all that is. David, his Psalm 51. Oh yeah. The precious Psalm. Against thee I have sinned. And I have done what is evil in thy holy sight. We take over our guilt. Yeah. And the people that takes over their punishment too. There is no other place, Lord, for me than the bottom of hell. And at once, oh no. No, but our whole life that testified against us, right or wrong, boy. Yeah, our whole life. Oh, if the Lord had opened to us, that there are times in our life, people, if we awake in the morning. And we see the sun coming on the sky there. That the tears come in our eyes. And that we say, Lord, is it now reality? I am still not in the land of living. Yeah. Why did you not cast me away out of thy holy sight? And oh, congregation, there's no never changing. No, never. I have always hoped in my life. I have always hoped that there was as a morning, that there was as an evening, that I have not to come on my knees, that I have not to ask the Lord for the forgiveness of my sins. But that morning, that evening, they come never. No. It is always something. We preached it out just last Sunday of the Sunday before, I think, that they spit Christ in his face. Yeah. They spit him in his face. Oh, I say, Lord, I have done it so much. And then, oh, congregation, he desires, really, that he was not there at that tears, to be there at that. But then the trouble, it is so dry the most of the time. It is so dry. And that is something, my dear people, that is something you cannot buy with the monster in the earth. And it is not the Lord that can give it to you. It is only the Lord. It is only the Lord that gave it to his dear people. And God be sorrow to repent as an effort to be repent, to repent of. Yeah. That is what the Lord gives. Yeah. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. And then he said, but this man that here hangs in our midst has done nothing amiss. Pilate, he said it seven times. Yeah, seven times, read in the Bible. Had he said the same thing? Judas, when he cast the 30 pieces of silver before the Sanhedrin, and he said, I have betrayed innocent blood. And soon when Christ died, there is an evil scat. He said, this man was righteous. This man was righteous. God's people condemn himself, and that justified the Lord. And then he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, oh, that man, the Lord, he opened his eyes immediately for the glory of Christ. Yeah. He saw him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. What a wonder. Flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. Oh, congregation, Pilate, he said, behold the man. Behold the man, his face nothing as spit. His face was filled with spit. His body was nothing as blood. And then to say, Lord, yeah. Oh, through all that humiliation, and to all that is dear, and to all that is despising, Lord, remember me. He did not say, Lord, deliver me from the cross. He did not say, Lord, comfort me. He did not say, Lord, give me faith. No. Can we die without confession? Can we die without faith? No. No. But that man did not pray for that. No. No. Years ago, I don't know the street here in Kalamazoo. I don't know, 'twas not so far from the church, I know well, I know that well. But 10 bombs I was in some house. And then that came in my heart when I prayed for an old woman there, that the Lord would remember her. And then I saw, I realized the comfort of it. Yeah. And since that time, oh, that was so clear in my heart, so clear. The counters of that word, remember. I tell you, congregation, that thief on the cross, he did nothing expect, oh, nothing, than to be cast in hell. That was the only thing, yeah. If there was love in the world, that man, it is a worthiness for the Lord. Then it was that man. Oh, we have so much to pray in our life. But 99.75% all over for ourselves. All of ourselves. But that man, no. He said only, Lord, remember me. That he had to go to hell. That was so firm in his heart. That he had no other thoughts at all, people, no other thoughts. Did that man then have had a little hope to come in heaven? No. No, not hope, nothing at all. Did he not desire to come in heaven? Was he? Was he living thoughtless, indifferent, that it bothered him not? No, no, but that heaven was no place for him. He was another, the blood that was dropping from his hands. The Lord did his justice and righteousness. He could not do that only to cast him away. But he said, Lord, remember me. When thou comest into thy kingdom, the thief on the cross that received in 1 hour more divine knowledge than all the disciples in 3 years. That's wonderful, eh? The disciples, they know him only children as prophet. You know that? They don't know him as priest, and they don't know him as king. But this man that came to the full realization that Christ was the king of Zion, and that as the true God, that he had an unlimited power, and as mediator, that all power was given him in heaven and upon earth. Lord, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom. He saw the state of glory from the king of heaven. Yeah. There was no doubt about it. And, oh, forgive it, me, what I will say now. But now in my words, congregation, in my words, oh, and my words are so poor. I know that. But now in my words, he would say, oh, king, oh, and he loved that king and that Christ with all the love of his heart. An evidence of spiritual life. Yeah. He'd say, Lord, remember me. If that now is once in 1,000 years when I am in hell, and you will stink of me, once in the tijd, in the thousand years. There shall be a relief for my soul. There shall be a gladness of my heart. Lord, remember me. When thou comest into the kingdom, this congregation, what a low place took that many. What a low place. And that's now the greatest mystery. And that's now the greatest problem, congregation. Not to come in the air, no, no. But there, in the valley. Oh, in the valley of deep humiliation. And that it become practice for our soul. Thou wilt stretch forth thy mighty arm to save me when me foes alarm. The work thou hast for me begun shall by thy grace be fully done. 381. Forever mercy dwell with thee. O Lord, my maker, think on me. O Lord, my maker, think on me. 381, the last stanza. Of life on the realm of death. While Christ is dying, congregation, for the sin of his people, and giving his soul as a ransom for many, then he performed such a great miracle that this evening in Kalamazoo, and tomorrow in different churches, they shall talk about the malefactor, and hell worthy sin, hell worthy. And for you and me, congregation, that is now the that's now the case. Yeah, that is what the Lord has to learn us. And that now in that bleeding Savior and Mediator who died on the cross of Calvary, who died freely, he commended his spirit into the hand of his Father. And then he gave up the ghost. We are subjected to die. Christ had well to die in regard to the righteousness and the truth of God, but he had given himself freely to die on the cross. He accepted that contract with his Father in the Council of Peace. And he never had to draw himself. Even that he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto this. But now, he glorified his Father. In John 17 he said, Father, I have glorified thy name, glorified thy Son. And that voice that came out of heaven in John 12, and I have glorified it and I shall glorify it again. Yeah. I think that devil, that was awful, awful, how that he had acted, because that man that was in his claws for so many years, that was in his power. The devil, he was standing there ready to cast that man in hell forever. And on the last hour, Christ came with the hand of his power, his almighty power, and he draw that man out of the claws of the devil. Yeah. What a wonder, what a wonder. Oh, congregation, children, boys, girls, you can still be comforted, don't you? You can still be comforted. Yeah. Yeah, but my sins, oh, no, no. No. That is the devil that said it. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that washes and cleanses from all our sins. And oh, I tell you noch something else, boy. You have not to pray an half hour, and you have not to pray 50 minutes. No. 1 second. Lord, remember me. But in short prayer, he was well as jealous to it. He was well as jealous. Yeah, yeah. Out of the depth I cry unto thee. Oh, congregation, my heart's desire this evening, that is, that the Lord sanctify the viewers to your heart. There's a desire of mine. Oh, what would it of a blessing, eh? If we without children and grandchildren came in the valley of deep humiliation and talk man never can it not do a different way, no, people. No. There is only one way, oh. There is only one way. And there's that royal way. To take over my fault, to take over my guilt, to take over my punishment, to take over my condemnation. Yeah. But that moment, if that happens in our life, we shall never forget it. No. We never shall forget it. That place in our life, where we become a sinner, and where it was Lord remember me, and Becker. In truth and uprightness. No hypocrisy, meer, no. No hypocrisy. But a sinner before the Lord. And then in this evening, I give you the assurance. I say it more to you already, but let her repeat it this evening. If we lay there, then the Lord shall not step upon us. He shall not tremble us away. No. But you know what he is doing? Oh, Jehovah, from his throne on high, look down with clear and searching eye on all that dwell below. And then he comes down and he comes to lay there with you and to look with you, to you. And then your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. And then he embrace you. And after that he embraced you, then you shall embrace him. Yeah. And after that he kissed you with a kiss in his mouth, then he is ready to, then that people that shall kiss him. And as such an unworthy, unworthy sinner, oh, that's the wonder, people. Yeah, that is the wonder. But before that I close this evening, I have one thing to say to you, one thing. Christ died before that man died. But Christ said to that man, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Why did Christ say verily first? Why? that refers congregation to Psalm 16 and to Revelation 7. In Psalm 16, verse 33, there Christ, he said, in the world you shall have tribulations. And in Revelation 7, when that angel, that elder, that saw that multitude, and then he asked from whence they come, and then the Lord said, out of the great tribulation. Not a small one, no. And even that it was a half hour, or 50 minutes that Stephen on the cross nog had lived, after Christ died, then the hell came in between. Yeah. Hell came in between. Therefore, that word fairly, that was so necessary. The assurance, because the devil was not ready to take that away. And in unbelief to rob the comfort out of his soul. But Christ said fairly, today, before that it is night, that you shall be with me in paradise. He said, you shall be with me in heaven, no, but in paradise. Because the Lord, by the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord bring that people back out of which they were fallen in paradise. The Lord bring them back in paradise, yeah. And then of one thing and then he close. Yeah, there are many things, but of course the time calls and the children have to go to bed. But how died that man now? How died he? You have always thought about it, elders, deacons. How that man died. With broken legs. He came with broken legs in heaven. Not Christ, no. His legs were not broken, but my legs are broken before I come in heaven. Oh, the result of my sin. Yeah. Broken legs, people. Yeah. And then it is such a wonder that when Lazarus died, then the angels that came and carried him in the bosom of Abraham, his legs were all broken, humanly speaking. Right? Yeah, congregation, we are stepping us so right to hell. No. But, oh, I shall carry you up. As that he had done in the beginning. And as that he had done by continually. And soon, when we die, to him takes us up. Yeah, yeah. Those that sow with tears, that shall reap with joy. Oh, congregation, that the preaching of Christ and of his power and of his love, his dying love for his people, oh, that it break our heart in pieces. That it brings us to the right place. What would the door and blessing in? If you could say, boys and girls, 1975, that Good Friday service that we have in our church, the Lord had sanctified to my heart. Eh? What would it be in blessing in? Never to be forgotten. That it became real. I see that one of the members is up here in the church this evening. Maybe you are Sunday all here already. I don't know. But, oh, I hope the Lord give you my heart to acknowledge the Lord. That you are still not with us and with your wife and children and with the congregation. And that it be blessed and be sanctified to all of us people. Yeah. Not in the air, no. But in the depths. Right? In the valley of true humility. And there we meet in bleeding and in dying Christ. But in Christ who is also risen from the grave, who is sitting at the right hand of his head of heaven, and who lives forever and forever, as we will sing after that we have prayed in the word of 2 years, Christ is King forever. Yeah. The Lord sanctified to our hearts. And he make it a blessing for our soul. Amen. Lord, remember us as thou hast remembered the thief on the cross. Oh, what was that man comforted in the right way, in the royal way. Oh, yes, Lord, what a miracle that have taken place. And thou art the same yesterday, today and forever. Oh, remember the people that is sick and that is in their homes, and that cannot gather with us, and those that are healthy and with us this evening. Remember all of us in thy condescending mercy and grace. In thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, remember the consistory, the congregation, also the next Sabbath day, where they hope to come together under thy word and testimony. Oh, may it well with thyself, Lord, because thy coming in, that is sweet, and that is powerful, and that is satisfying, oh, that brings everything with him. Remember in all the needs and in all the wants, each and every one, young and old, great and small, bring us safely to our homes, and that for Christ's sake only, amen. 200, the first stanza, 200. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea, and what follows. I will announce this evening instead of next Wednesday, I was planning to be here, but there are circumstances that I cannot be here. Thus I hope on Tuesday, April 8th, to be in your midst again, the Lord willing. Receive now the blessing of the Lord, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.